Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And welcome to the second tier preview show brought to you by SBK. I'm Ryan Dilks, and I'm joined by the 3:30 at Fakenham to my grand national. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Justin, I have a friend who I was chatting to the other day, and he's a fan of the podcast. He particularly likes the video clips we put out on social media. And he said to me the other day that for a good few episodes when he first found out about the podcast, he thought I was doing it with Ben Osborne, formerly of Nottingham Forest and currently of Sheffield United, because he thinks you look like Ben Osborne. What do you think about that?
Ben Osborne looks about 12 years old.
He's the same age as us, I think.
Yeah, I think he is. Ben Osborne looks like... Yeah, he looks 12 years old. No disrespect to Ben Osborne. He's an ever youthful human being. I have a moustache, thinning hairline, and really, really thick eyebrows. I am distinctive. I look nowhere near Ben Osborne. I think he's blonde, isn't he, Ben Osborne?
He is blonde, but I initially was a bit taken aback by the shout as well. But when I actually Googled Ben Osborne, I can see similarities. Like, you're not like identical twins, but the similarities are there, I think. It's your facial structure is what I'm looking at.
My facial structure. I look nothing like Ben Osborne.
You do a bit.
No, I've just pulled him up. But yeah, Ben Osborne has got a pair of eyebrows on him, to be fair. But there's no way we are alike.
You're a lot more tans than he is as well, but it take away your tan and give you a bit of blonde hair, you're essentially Ben Osborne.
I look like Ben Osborne if I was an athlete. Well, you know, that's disrespectful to Ben Osborne. I'm an athletic Ben Osborne.
No, he's an athletic.
No. We'll go. I'm the handsome one.
Who's another lookalike you've been given in the past? Have you had any good ones?
Yeah, Gabriel Jesus has been thrown at me.
That is absolutely appalling. That just not...
No, to be fair...
You look so much more like Ben Osborne than you do Jesus.
Gabriel Jesus with the eyebrows and the blank expression, I can see that more than Ben Osborne.
No, absolute bollocks. I'm not giving you that at all. I've been told a few times I look like former Cardiff and Coventry midfielder Aaron Gunnarsson.
No.
Just because of the ginger beard. I think that's literally it. We both have ginger beards and we're both quite pale.
Yeah, Aaron Gunnarsson if you fell on hard times.
Okay, yeah, fine, I'll take that. It was mainly around Euro 2016 time when Iceland were doing really well, and I had a few people say, I genuinely thought that was you for a bit. I'll take it. It is essentially, as you say, just the beard. But anyway, welcome to the number one championship podcast, the second tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, this is, of course, a preview show. So we're looking ahead to the weekend in the championship. I mean, there isn't long to go now, Justin. 4 games left, is there? This is another massive weekend of championship action. So let's dive into some of the big games, shall we? We're going to talk about our game of the weekend very shortly and then do our bankers and outsider predictions and finish off with a little game we like to call Scott High or Ryan Low. And our game of the weekend is the one on Friday night as Plymouth welcome Leicester to Home Park. Plymouth are 26-5 with SBK to win, while Leicester are 1-2. The draw is 37-10. Plymouth v Leicester, or as it's otherwise known, the Lillian Nallis Derby, Justin.
I was going to go with the Ian Holloway Derby, to be honest.
I prefer Lillian.
Lillian Nallis. It's much more niche. And Lillian Nallis actually is a very good scout on Football Manager, just to throw that one out there for all you experts. He's a very, very good scout. But yes, yes, the Lillie Nallis derby, same era actually as the Ian Holloway derby. But yeah, could be a very entertaining game. Two teams who want to attack. It's a good prelude to the old weekend fixtures.
It's a huge game, isn't it? A huge game at both ends of the table. Plymouth are 20th, 2 points above the relegation zone. Leicester sit at the top, but with Ipswich and Leeds hot on their tail. Maybe not hot, on their tail. So there's quite the difference in terms of league positions here, but there's also quite the difference in terms of resources as well, isn't there, Justin? Leicester with the most expensive squad in the league, and Plymouth with one of the least expensive. The gap in that regard is enormous, isn't it, Justin?
Absolutely. The gap in resources is so significant. But if this season's going to tell you anything, it's that resources mean naff all. Now, that does come with a caveat and an asterisk to that statement, because, of course, resources have helped in the long term. And if you do have the resources that Leicester, Leeds and Southampton have, you are going to be pushing for automatics, naturally, because that's how the championship works. But to caveat the caveat, Millwall beat Leicester in midweek. Plymouth, they're hitting forms. Ipswich are pushing for the automatics. Resources mean naff all,
apart from the of the top four teams being the most expensive in the league. I get your point. When it comes down to 11 players, 11 v 11 on a pitch, then anything
it's
is
who
possible.
Wants it more, Ryan.
Exactly. And let's discuss it, Justin, because Leicester looked like they were back to normal after back-to-back wins, but then lost away at struggling Millwall on Tuesday night. So how will they react so soon after that? We will have to wait and see. But it's not a long turnaround between games, is it, for Leicester? And that's something which has angered Leicester boss Enzo Maresca. He said they arrived back home after the Millwall game at 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and they've now got the longest away trip of the season on Friday. He told the press, "I'm concerned about my players. If they don't perform, they are bad. They aren't bad. They're human beings. We've played already 50 games this season. They are human beings, and people don't care about that." Has he got a point, Justin?
No, he doesn't. Every team's got to go away to Plymouth. I know it's a Friday night.
But do they have to do it so soon after an away trip, which is still pretty lengthy to Millwall from Leicester?
Yeah, it is. But these are professional footballers. They're athletes. They make long trips all the time. I don't know whether they're flying or not, but I imagine quite a few teams with the resources Leicester have will probably fly to Plymouth. But at the same time, there are ways around it, Ryan. Plymouth's a nice place to go. Devon's a lovely place for a long weekend. What I'm saying is, and what I'm suggesting is, take your players down a few days early, spend the week down there. Spend the weekend down there. The weather is meant to be lush this weekend. It's meant to be beautiful.
Just they had a game in midweek against Millwall.
Yeah, I mean, they should have gone from Millwall to Plymouth. That's what I'm suggesting. They didn't. They went back up to the Midlands. That's their fault. Make the weekend a long one. Don't matter. They're human beings. So just treat them like human beings. Take them on holiday. Sometimes you need this. Do some team building. Go to the Big Sheep in Devon or the Cheddar Gorge on your way back. There are alternatives here to Maresca's moaning. And all he hears is moaning. Plymouth had to go to Rotherham last week. I didn't hear a peep out of them. Just saying.
I think I agree with you partly, but also disagree with you, because I think there's two ways of looking at this, because everyone knows footballers are playing too much. It's the case whether they're playing in the Champions League, and it's the case for plenty of Championship sides as well. This is a bigger conversation which football desperately needs to have, and I think is being spoken about without much action actually happening. So there is that. But at the same time, it does seem a bit mad that they have been forced to make this journey on a Friday night, not long after a fairly long away day. So I think he has the right to feel aggrieved. However, this is what squads are for, and Leicester have one of the biggest squads in the league. Against Millwall, Leicester had on their bench Connor Cody, Hamza Chowdhury, Kelechi Iheanacho, Patson Daka, James Justin, Dennis Pratt and Abdul Fatawu. There's surely enough there to rotate the squad, no? And so, if it was Neil Doosnip at Plymouth making these criticisms, I would definitely understand, because, that's not a long turnaround and they don't have the squad depth to massively rotate their squad, whereas Leicester do. So I don't think the argument is as strong when it's Enzo Maresca with a squad made up of hundreds of millions of pounds worth of talent, but it is still a valid one. Do you see what I mean, Justin?
No, I don't think it's valid. I don't buy it. You said it there. You said it with this statement. This is what squads are for. I understand why he's annoyed, because it's obviously there's the Millwall game in midweek. But just keep your players down south, limit the travel. If you're that bothered, limit the travel. I know they need to see families and stuff, but limit the travel. They didn't have to travel back from Millwall that evening. If you want to push for promotion, teams will make these exceptions, especially at this point in the season. We've seen it all the time. Neil Warnock's very good at it, for example. And as you said, this is what squads are for. When Jurgen Klopp opens his mouth about fixture congestion, I roll my eyes and go, well, you have a 25-man squad plus youth players. Not youth players, but players in the under-21s who are biting, who are chomping at the bit for a chance in the first team. So, and that'll be the same at Leicester. That'll be the same at every single club in this country. Fixture congestion can be a problem, but for me, you've got squads to deal with it. Deal with it.
Well, we were just talking about Neil Doosnip a minute ago. He's had a decent start to his mission to save Plymouth from relegation after the fairly disastrous appointment of Ian Foster. Since being reappointed as caretaker boss, this being Doosnip, they've beaten Rotherham and drawn against QPR. So, not groundbreaking, but it's good, isn't it? And they can cause Leicester problems if Leicester aren't careful, can't they, Justin?
Absolutely. I think an Ian Fosterless team, Plymouth team, can cause any team problems. Let's be honest. There's so much attacking quality and youthful exuberance in this Argyle side that they will cause any team an issue. It's like when year sevens nick your ball, isn't it? And you're a year 11. You know, the first 10 minutes they have it, it's funny. They're going to, it's, you know, you chase them around for a little bit, but then time drags on you and you want to play football on your lunch break. And then you start to get a little bit nasty. And I think that's what will happen with Leicester. They'll start to take control of it and try and get it before the lunch break's over. I am comparing Plymouth to a, you know, excited year seven to Nicky Ball, and then they'll get a kick in after.
Okay, great. I am glad that this is the state of our analysis now. I suppose you are right to an extent, Justin, because Plymouth do have some very talented players. Morgan Whittaker is obviously the headliner of this side. He is one of the top scorers in the division for a reason, because he's had an absolutely phenomenal season. He has struggled in recent weeks, but is still a very talented player, as I think every Championship fan is aware of now. I mean, Ryan Hardy's had a good season as well. He's also not been great in recent times, but is capable of it. I mean, a player who's quickly emerging as one of their main danger man at Plymouth is Ballymumba, who's looked really sharp in the last couple of games. He's perhaps had a bit of a disappointing season to what many people expected, but he's been really bright again recently. And Plymouth still seem to be recovering from the Ian Foster era, if it was long enough to demand to be deemed an era. But, you know, it's going to take time for them to fully recover. But the matter of the fact is they can't afford to take too long to recover. Otherwise, they could go down. And the problem is that they've got, their away form has been pretty hopeless all season. Only Rotherham and Birmingham have won fewer points on the road. And they've got this game against Leicester at home and then two massive away games against relegation rivals. So my point is, if they're going to stay up, they could do with getting something here, because I don't hold much confidence in their away performances. And Leicester can be got at. We saw that with the Millwall game in midweek. If you manage to stay firm and hit them when you can and punish them, then they're there for the taking on occasion, aren't they, Justin?
Yeah, not only that, but it's a bloody long way for them to travel, isn't it? So they're going to be tired. Their legs are going to be stiff. This is Plymouth's game, this is. You want to be coming up against Leicester side who are coach-lagged, if you want to coin a term that Maresca's alluding to. So yeah, this is a game where Leicester can be got at. And I think that's why Plymouth's form was so good and is pretty good for their own standards. I know they haven't been great under Ian Foster, but their home form before him was very good under Schumacher, as it was last season. And I think that the distance that teams have to travel does play a part in it. So yeah, maybe Maresca does have some credence with his previous statement. But at the end of the day, football is about playing on the pitch, not about travelling on a coach.
I tell you what, Plymouth were a bit coach-lagged with Ian Foster as their head coach, weren't they? It's good that they got rid of that. Justin, it's now time for our second-tier bet builder with SBK. And with SBK, you can curate your own bet builder from a range of markets for any Championship game. It's easy, fast and secure on the SBK mobile app, and you'll find substantially better odds there than at any other bookmaker. So every Friday, we're making our own bet builder with four selections, all relating to our game of the week. So that's two for Justin and two for me. Justin, what are your selections?
I've gone with Leicester to score over 0.5 second half goals in this one. I will always back Leicester to score in the second half of games. They're a second half team. They spend the first half coasting in games and then kick it up a notch after a hard time when they realise they actually have to win a football match. They scored 47 goals in second halves this season, which is the highest in the league by five. They're a team who, as I say, they just take it up a notch in the second half. They crank it up a gear and they, yeah, that's going to be a big one here for this game.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you on that, Justin. Leicester, another one of those sides who tend to do a lot of their business in the second half. So I think this is a good shout. My first selection is Wilfred Ndidi over 0.5 shots on target. So him to have a shot on target. And the reason I've gone for this is because during Leicester's green patch that they had very briefly against Norwich and Birmingham, Wilfred Ndidi had a starring role in that, had shots on target in both of those games. Didn't have a shot on target against Millwall in midweek, but that's because Leicester were wank. So with that being said, I think if Leicester are going to get back on the wagon, Ndidi's going to play a key part in that. And I think, judging from what I was seeing with SBK's odds and when I was having a little look earlier, he looks like pretty good value to have a shot on target. So that's why I'm going with that. Are you right with that, Justin?
Oh, I like that one. I think Wilfred Ndidi is now deployed as a number 8 under Maresca. I think he's got a bit more of a license to get forward. And I think before he got injured earlier on in the season, he was a very active shooter in the final third. You know, he's very good at getting in those positions to pull off shots. So, yeah, I do like that one, especially if Plymouth are going to open up a little bit, which I think they might.
And Justin, you have gone for a similar selection with your next one, haven't you?
I have. I've gone with Morgan Whittaker to have over 0.5 shots on target. The bargain of the season, loves a shot. He loves a punt on goal. He averages 3.7 shots per game, which is the second highest in the division. He's Plymouth's talisman as well. So he's going to see plenty of the ball. They're going to want to get him into good positions, good shooting positions, because, as I say, he's the talisman of this Plymouth side. And if anyone's going to be the spark for Ginster's FC, it's our favourite signing of the season, Morgan Whittaker.
Ginster's FC, Jesus Christ. You're right. I'm just looking at his stats now. In his last 4 games, Morgan Whittaker, he's had 2 shots on target in each of them. So he is a man. He is the main danger man for Plymouth, isn't he? And while his sights of goal may be a bit restricted against Leicester, still, I think him to have a shot on target in this one is a good pick. And my final selection is Leicester City to win, whether it's at home or away, whether they've got to do the coach travel or not. This is a game they should be winning, Justin. So I think Leicester to win, another safe selection for this bet builder. Would you agree?
No, absolutely. It's one of those that, as you say, they have to win and they'll take a win no matter how it comes. Whether that's a 1-0 scrappy goal or a late winner or complete dominance, it's a game that Leicester do need to win. And you go into a team that are down there fighting at the bottom of the table, you have to come away with 3 points, especially if you want automatic promotion, especially in the current state the automatic promotion race is in. 3 points, a lot of pressure on Leicester to get it, but it's a safe option.
It could be a very valuable 3 points as well if it comes in. So a £10 bet with SBK on this bet builder returns £59.99. But with SBK, you can claim a 25% winnings boost on bet builders for Plymouth Argyle versus Leicester City, bringing us up to £74.99. Max stake of £10, over 18s only, and T's and C's apply. Please gamble responsibly. This bet builder again, Leicester over 0.5 second half goals, Wilfred Ndidi over 0.5 shots on target, Morgan Whittaker over 0.5 shots on target, and Leicester to win. A £10 bet with SBK on that returns £74.99. Thanks to SBK's 25% winnings boost on bet builders for Plymouth versus Leicester on Friday night. Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll make our banker and outsider selections for the weekend.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Second Tier Podcast. It's now time for us to do our picks for the weekend. And in each preview show of the Second Tier, Justin and I will each pick a banker, a team we think is guaranteed to win this coming weekend, as well as an outsider. So someone we think is going to win, but is bigger odds with our friends at SBK than their opponents. We're tracking how we do as the season goes on. It's 1 point for a correct banker, 2 points for an outsider. Whoever loses has to do a forfeit, which will be a CrossFit workout for myself, while Justin has to do a coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back. And the current scores look like this, ladies and gentlemen. 41-31 to the Dilks diehards after my banker of Leicester to beat Birmingham was the only correct pick from last weekend. That means it's a 10-point gap between me and the Peach Posse. However, there are only three preview shows left after this, and that means Justin can only win 9 points after this weekend. So, if Justin fails to better my score this weekend, it'll be official. He will have lost in the predictions for this season and be going on that long coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back. This is it, Justin. I can finally put you in your grave.
Well, you can't finally put me in my grave because you're speaking very assured in this. We've still got this week to go. Let's see how we do, Ryan. Let's see how we do. Don't be too confident. And by the way, am I bothered about a coach trip? No, I just sold Plymouth as a holiday destination in the first half of the podcast. I want to go on this coach trip.
What about Sunderland?
I'm all right with Sunderland. I'll just stay in Plymouth.
Oh dear. Justin, let's see if you can manage to salvage any consolation points. Because let's be honest, I don't think you're going to pull this back at this stage.
Jesus.
But you can still be hopeful if you want, mate. What is your banker for the championship this weekend?
I've gone with Coventry to win away at Birmingham City. Gary Rowett has laid into the Birmingham players after a defeat in midweek to Cardiff, saying they're sleepwalking to disaster and that they lack toughness. Well, if you ain't tough, I wouldn't want to be playing Coventry right now. I know the Sky Blues have lost two of the last three games, but could have all been different if Hadji Wright wasn't wearing his slippers in midweek against Southampton when he missed his penalty. Could have put them 1-0 up. Could have been a very different game for Cov. The attacking swagger of this Coventry team is exceptional, and the low confidence of the Blues camp, I think, will be a big factor here. Not only that, this is very left field and probably a really pointless stat. Not really a stat at all, actually. It's more of a statement. St. Andrews was the home ground of Coventry as recently as 2021. So the record there is actually pretty good as a home and away team.
Okay.
Has no bearing on the game at all, but why not throw it in there?
I suppose it's not as too different to an away game for them as it may be for other grounds. So
I don't think Mark Robbins is going to wander into the wrong dugout or the wrong dressing room by any means. But if you're comfortable in your surroundings, then it's going to be all right, isn't it? It's going to be fine.
I guess so. But yeah, it's interesting what Gary Wright was saying about the Birmingham players sleepwalking into disaster. Of course, they have got this new stadium, which is it was big news for Birmingham in midweek, and it sounds very exciting, but it's not going to mean much if that stadium is in League One, is it? So yeah, they need to turn this around. But I did say as recently as Sunday that I was fairly confident Birmingham will still stay up, but even that confidence with me it's evaporating, it's got to be said. I think this, if Birmingham did get something here, it would be a bonus. I think Birmingham will certainly be looking at the other three remaining games and saying they are more likely hunting grounds for us. But if they get something here, it'll be a big boost. But Coventry are a sight to fear. We saw that with them beating Leeds last weekend. A bit disappointing them losing to Southampton in midweek. But they're batting around that kind of average, aren't they, Coventry? They are a top side, Justin Peach. And
yeah,
when you put these two sides together, Coventry should be winning this, shouldn't they?
Yeah, well, that's the key thing, isn't it? They should be. Form will tell you they should be. The state of play in this in the table will tell you that they should be. I know they've got the FA Cup semi-final coming up. Might be a bit of a distraction, but I don't think Mark Robbins is the type of manager to allow his players to get distracted, because they are within reach of the playoffs, albeit at the time of recording, 5 points off Norwich in sixth. But if they win here and Norwich drop points, it could swing in their favour again. So they're within a fight, and they've got players who are in form, and I think that's the worrying thing for Gary Rowett in Birmingham.
Yeah, the thing is, Gaz, you're talking about sleepwalking into disaster. You're not meant to wake someone up when they're sleepwalking, are you? So
We've all watched Step Brothers. We know what happens.
This is the issue that he's now got to try and figure out. He's either got to stop them sleepwalking into disaster or wake them up and have a Step Brothers scenario.
But like, that's the risk, isn't it? That's the risk. You can wake them up and they'll be fine, or you can wake them up and shit goes down.
Start screaming at you. It's not ideal. It's a bit of a lose-lose situation for Gary Rowett in that sense, isn't it? My banker for the weekend is Leeds to win at home to Blackburn in the early kickoff on Saturday. It's simple, but we get into must-win territory for Leeds. They have been flat recently. There's no two ways about it. Even the most ardent Leeds fans will be struggling to deny right now that they are flat. Flat as a pancake, and they need to turn it around badly. In fairness, they haven't been losing, but Leeds can't keep relying on Ipswich and Leicester dropping points. Otherwise, they won't go up, so they need a win. If they play well alongside it, then that's wonderful news, but Daniel Farke will be happy with a win, no matter how it comes from this game. And they're coming up against the Blackburn side, who have been playing well, up until getting smashed 5-0 by Bristol City in midweek. I'm not sure where that result came from, but it's going to be interesting to see how they respond after that. Blackburn have failed to score in four of their last five games. Bizarrely, the one game they did score in, they put five past Sunderland. So who knows with Blackburn, really? It's a bit of a feast or famine scenario with them, but this is obviously a tough game from a Blackburn perspective, and they would be delighted with the point. Ultimately, they're a side fighting to stay up, and so a side like Leeds have to win this one. Hence why I'm going for a Leeds win as my banker for the weekend, Justin. Are you in agreement?
It is the early kickoff, so I'm a little bit nervous about this. And obviously, Blackburn coming off the back of a heavy defeat. Usually teams off the back of a heavy defeat shut up shop. They spend the rest of the training week training defensive shape. And then you're coming up against a Leeds team as well. You're going to be wanting training your defensive shape. So yeah, flatness with Leeds and that. This one makes me nervous. This one makes me nervous. And the curse of the early kickoff as well. Tentatively with you on this one.
I think with Leeds' recent performances, you can completely understand your tentativeness. I mean, they managed just one shot on target against Sunderland in midweek, which is a pretty pitiful result, isn't it? Because Sunderland have been awful recently. So for that to be the case is pretty shambolic. I mean, you've got to be looking at the likes of Patrick Bamford and be saying, how on earth is he still starting for Leeds? Jorginho Ruta has been really disappointing recently. Dan James didn't have a great game against Sunderland. Crescencio Somerville is arguably the most talented player in the whole division. Yeah. But it seemed like Leeds were relying a bit too much on him to really pull them out of the dirt. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this one goes. But if Leeds are going to get promoted, this has to be 3 points for them.
Yeah, I think to swing the odds in Leeds' favour a little bit, I saw several Bristol City fans suggest that Blackburn were one of the most disorganised teams to go to Ashton Gate, which isn't a usual thing with the John Eustace side, but if Leeds are going to capitalise on a bad moment for Rovers, then it's got to be this weekend, hasn't it?
It absolutely has. So there are mine and Justin's two bankers for this weekend. And every week, we combine these two selections with a bet on the full-time result of our Game of the Weekend to create our very own second-tier featured multiple with SBK. So this week, we're going for Leeds, Coventry and Leicester all to win. A £10 bet on that returns £45. And with SBK, you can create your own multiple with three or more bets on the full-time results of any game from across the Championship. T's and C's apply, over 18s only. And please do gamble responsibly. That again, Leeds, Coventry and Leicester all to win. A £10 bet on that returns £45. This is the one, Justin. I've looked into the future. This is the one. Our first second-tier multiple of the season to get us on the board. I can feel it in my bones. Justin, let's go on to our outsiders then. What have you got for me, big boy?
I've got my Preston to win at home to Norwich. I'm going to go a bit different with the analysis of this one. Blackburn, Stoke, Swansea, QPR. Can you tell me the commonality amongst these teams, Ryan?
Have they lost to Preston?
They probably have done at some point in their histories, but that's not what I'm looking for. That's not the answer I'm looking for. They have all won more away games than Norwich this season.
Fine. Okay, good.
An incredible statistic. And that's what makes me a little bit surprised that the odds are against Preston here. And as I say, I think the only big difference here is the quality between these two teams. But as we've suggested several times over the past few weeks, quality doesn't mean anything. It's about who wants it more. And Preston, I think, in such a big game, I think it's one of those games that's been vastly overlooked as a big game this weekend, by the way. You've got North End at home. Deepdale will be rocking because 3 points here will take Preston even closer to the top six, and it will take 3 points away from a team in the top six, which is absolutely massive. And like I was alluding to, Norwich are really poor away from Carrow Road. They've only collected 21 points away from home this season, which is remarkable where they find themselves in their table when you factor in that form away from their home stadium. So, yeah, I'm going with Preston to win this one. I'm quietly confident with this, mainly because Norwich's away form is dreadful. It's really bad.
Yeah, well, they do a lot of their main business at home, don't they? Home is where the heart is for Norwich City. And you're right, their away form is perhaps gone a bit under the radar, how much they've struggled on their travels this season. But you are right, this is a massive game in the race for the top six. At one, as recently as last Sunday, it looked like it was just going to be Norwich and Coventry, who's going to finish out the top six between them. And then Preston have turned around to us and say, guys, you're looking at us. And you look at it, if Preston win this weekend against Norwich and win their game in hand, mm-hmm. they'll go ahead of Norwich. That's how bloody tight it is. So that's why this game is absolutely huge in the race for the top six. Alternatively, if Norwich win, that's probably Preston's top six hopes over and done with, completely done and dusted. So Preston have got to make the most of this. And you would hope, Justin, you are absolutely right, that Deepdale will be absolutely rocking for this one to keep their top six hopes alive.
Yeah, if it isn't, I'll be furious, because as I say, this is the biggest game that I think Preston will probably have had since coming back into the Championship all those years ago under Simon Grayson. So you really can't understate the significance of a win here for Preston. You're taking 3 points off a potential playoff rival within 2 points, and then a game in hand. There's just so much here that will sit in their favour if they pick up a win for Rhino's team there. So yeah, quite a confident, but you know, we can't get too carried away in the Championship.
And plus, they've got Milutin Osmajic coming off the back of a hat-trick as well, a seven-minute hat-trick, which I believe is the fastest hat-trick in the Football League this season. So will he be firing? Preston fans will surely be hoping that he will. Let's go on to my outsider, Justin. I've gone with Stoke to win away at Sheffield Wednesday. Look, we were just talking about how big Preston v Norwich is in terms of the playoff race. This is a massive game in the relegation battle, 22nd v 19th, just 3 points separating them. And a potentially huge moment for Sheffield Wednesday, who could climb out of the relegation zone for the first time since August this weekend. They've been in there after every round of games, bar the first one. And it would be quite remarkable if they managed to get out now, so late in the season. However, one thing we have seen from Wednesday this season is whenever they seemingly get a chance to climb out, where they look like they may actually finally get out of the bottom three, they mess it up. And the same thing could happen again here. So, I mean, that's quite obviously an ambiguous statement to make, but it wouldn't be surprised if they got a massive win at QPR, rescue a miraculous point against Norwich, and then follow up with a loss to QPR, because that's just how Sheffield Wednesday's season has gone. They lose games, which are quite surprising. Meanwhile, Stoke are very up and down right now. They got a really good point against West Brom last weekend. Then they were swept aside pretty easily by Swansea in midweek, alongside a bit of controversial refereeing. But they're definitely capable of getting something at Hillsborough. Their last two away games before that Swansea defeat, they won at Hull and Preston, two sides chasing the top six. So a lot of it is down to which Stoke side turns up. A lot of it is down to which Wednesday side turns up for this one. I mean, I'm not massively confident in this pick, but when you're picking an outsider for the weekend, can you ever really have much confidence in Sheffield Wednesday being the favourite for a game this season? So that's why I'm going for Stoke to win away at Sheffield Wednesday as my outsider in the Championship this weekend, Justin.
Yeah, you basically described with Sheffield Wednesday the fact that they have Stockholm syndrome with the bottom three. They are so comfortable and aligned with being in the relegation zone, they don't want to leave. They don't want to leave. And as you say, they keep being given chances to do so and they don't do it. But again, similar to the Preston and Norwich game, this is a big one. If Wednesday beat Stoke, they'll level on points with them. And again, if results go against Stoke, they could find themselves in the bottom three at the end of Saturday. So yeah, huge, huge fixture here. But I think, weirdly, Stoke are the only side who can follow up a three-game unbeaten run, a very good three-game unbeaten run, with complete incompetence against Swansea. They're the only team, I think, in the division who are capable of that. So yeah, it's an interesting one. Obviously, with Wednesday coming back from two goals behind against Norwich in midweek as well, yeah, this adds a lot of uncertainty. But as you say, they're outsiders for a reason. You can never be confident in outsiders. No one's good at picking outsiders. These are outsiders, not predictions. That's the key thing here.
I will point out, you say Stoke could go into the bottom three at the end of this weekend. That's only going to happen if Sheffield Wednesday win 13-0. So, you know, there's the chance that it may happen here, Justin, but...
Yeah. Yeah, there's a chance. I'm not saying that... I'm not going to lie to our listeners. There's a chance if Wednesday win 13-0, Stoke are in the bottom three.
Yeah, I say that because Sheffield Wednesday are quite a way behind Stoke in terms of goal difference. But your point still remains, because if Stoke do lose, then this is... They are dragged right back into it. It wasn't too long ago that they looked like they were getting towards the safety island in the Championship. And it wouldn't take much for that all to change, because that's what this relegation battle has been like, isn't it? Whenever you think, OK... we're starting to make some sense of it, something comes out of nowhere, like Millwall beating Leicester, for example.
Every single team's got holes in their boat trying to get to a safety island. Mm. And it depends who sinks quickest.
Yep. And who sinks? Is anyone actually on that island yet? Probably not, in terms of the relegation battle as a whole. There's a lot of rowing which still needs to happen.
Yeah, try to think of a nautical reference here, right? Go on, try it. Go on.
Starboard.
Got themselves in knots. They've got themselves in knots, haven't they? There you go.
Yeah, that, you probably saved me a bit there. Now it's time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Low?
Fucking shit, mate.
Yes, it's time for Scott High or Ryan Low. And this is the game where we have to rank four things from highest to lowest. It's as simple as that. There's three questions. And this week, I'm providing the questions for Justin. Are you ready, Peachy?
Yeah. Yeah, go on then.
Cool. Right, your first question then is this. These are the four clubs with the lowest average attendances in the Championship this season. Can you rank them on who has the lowest? Those clubs are Blackburn, Millwall, Plymouth, Rotherham. Hmm. Who's got the lowest average attendance out of them, Justin?
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Rotherham fans didn't want to go to see their club, but I would also argue that they do fill the New York Stadium quite well. So I'm going to put them top. Then I'll put Plymouth second, because I'm...
When you say top, you mean they've got the lowest attendance?
They've got
you?
The lowest attendance, yeah. It's going to be between Blackburn and... But I think Blackburn's average is like 17,000. Who was the other team?
Millwall.
The home form's been terrible. Not heard a...
Not
heard
a part in it?
Well, I suppose not. It depends who's got the most season ticket holders. Maybe Millwall fans are expecting a playoff push this season, so they maybe bought in their numbers. So I'm actually going to go. This is my order. I'm going to go with Blackburn with the lowest average attendance.
What, lower than Rotherham?
Why not? This could be really wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to go Blackburn with the lowest. No.
He's starting to see the error of his ways here, ladies and gentlemen.
They got more seats. I'm going to go with Rotherham as the lowest, then Millwall, then Blackburn, then Plymouth.
Okay, it seems like you've completely changed your order there.
Yeah.
Considering what you were saying just a minute ago. And it's a shame that you did that, because you have massively, massively butchered it. Rotherham were, of course, the lowest. Their average attendance is 10,655. Blackburn were next with 15,080. Plymouth were next after that, 16,450. And then Millwall had the highest of the bunch, 16,526. So not very good, Justin, but you did get Rotherham right, which I feel like was a bit of a tap-in. Now, Justin, here's four players, and I want you to rank them on who scored the most hat-tricks at Championship level. Those players are Adam Armstrong, Troy Deeney, Lewis Grabban, and Ivan Toney. Who scored the most hat-tricks at championship level out of those four, Justin?
I feel like Ivan Toney's a red herring because he scored so many goals. I think he's got more hat-tricks than all of them. I think the other players, the aforementioned players, are they're brace warriors. They just scored two and then they sack it off or miss a penalty at the pivotal moment. So I'm going to go with Ivan Toney with the most. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to go with Lewis Grabban based on his longevity in the championship. He played a lot of games at championship level and scored a lot of goals as well.
Yeah,
and I think he scored several hat-tricks in that time. Mm. Troy Deeney, fuck Troy Deeney, and then Adam Armstrong.
So Troy Deeney is second last. You're putting Adam Armstrong bottom.
Yes.
I tell you what, Justin, it's good, but it's not good enough because actually it's shite. You've got that so wrong.
Wow.
So wrong. So wrong. So Adam Armstrong's top with three, which I think is quite interesting because I suppose he's had three good seasons at championship level.
How often is a player going to score a hat-trick in the championship? Once a season, probably. Yeah.
So Adam Armstrong's got three hat-tricks at championship level. Troy Deeney has two. He was second. Ivan Toney has the one. You should have just listened to your head. He's only had one season at championship level, hasn't he? And then, bizarrely, Lewis Grabban has never scored a hat-trick in the championship, which I thought was quite amazing. He's the highest-scoring player in championship history to have never scored a hat-trick. Here's some players who have scored more hat-tricks at championship level than him. Jonjo Shelvey, Joe Rules, Louis Sibley, Vincent Pericard scored 23 goals in 157 Football League appearances, and even he has more hat-tricks at championship level than Lewis Grabban.
Yeah.
Mental, Justin.
I mean, Danny Butterfield scored a hat-trick as well. I know that was in a cup competition, but he scored a hat-trick. What's Lewis Grabban playing at? What's he doing?
What is he playing at? I was just amazed when I found this out, but I just thought I'd throw it in there to really cock up your order for that question, Justin. And this is your final Scott High Orion Low, and it's about theme parks. These are the four most visited theme parks in the UK. Can you rank them based on who had the most annual visitors in 2022, according to Statista, which is like a data collecting website? Those theme parks are Alton Towers, Chessington World of Adventures, Legoland, and Thorpe Park. Who had the most annual visitors in 2022, Justin, out of them?
That's a good one. I've never been to Legoland.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I have actually either, now that you say that.
Yeah, just to play the violin a little bit. I think parents were divorced when I was young, so they never took me. Sad, that. Really sad.
That is sad.
Yeah.
When was the last time you played with Lego?
Ooh, must have been, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Tell you what, it's fucking expensive now.
It's ridiculous.
It's outrageously expensive, mate. It's scandalous, really. A bit disgraceful. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
I don't know how much Legoland is, but how many people do you reckon went there?
I'm not going to tell you the number, but I reckon more people went to Legoland than they did any of the theme parks because it's more family friendly. And if you're talking about numbers, family of four, you're going to get more family of fours go there than they would to Alton Towers.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Legoland top. Then I'm going to go Thorpe Park because based purely on where it is, a lot of people are around London and et cetera. Okay. So I think they'll go there. Then I'll go with Chessington, then Alton Towers last, actually.
Justin, you are so close, but for some reason you massively underestimated Alton Towers. I can't believe you put them bottom. That's just ridiculous.
Who goes to Alton Towers now? I just think it's gone.
Well, I can tell you how many went. 2.3 million in 2022. That was the second most. Legoland was top. They had 2.4 million visitors in 2022. Then, as I say, it was Alton Towers. Thorpe Park was next, 1.6 million. So quite a drop off between them and Alton Towers. And then Chessington World of Adventures, 1.5 million. I don't actually know where Chessington World of Adventures is. And if you tell me Chessington, I will drive to your house and slap you.
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be my next statement. But it might not be in Chessington. It might be somewhere else. I reckon it's in the northeast.
I'm checking now. It's in London, so you are close. Yeah, I've never been there. Never really thought about going there. I've always wanted to go Thorpe Park, but, we do live in Derby, so Alton Towers is literally just around the corner from us. You live in a very fortunate position where you are less than 45 minutes away from Alton Towers, and you haven't made the most of that opportunity at all. Where was your childhood whimsy?
I used to go to American Adventure.
For those who don't know, American Adventure was a cowboy and Native American kind of theme park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wild West themed. It was something from the ages. You could pan for gold and everything. And the log flume was good. The water wasn't great. And it was like poly mesh, styrene, like Grand Canyon rock faces. It genuinely was otherworldly. It was beautiful.
And that's why it's been closed now for nearly 20 years, because people loved it that much. there we go. This has been the Second Tier Podcast, and this has been the preview show brought to you by SBK, who I'm sure will be delighted by the ending of this episode. We'll be back again on Sunday with our roundup of all the weekend's action in the Championship, so we bloody look forward to seeing you then. But as I say, this has been the Second Tier Podcast, and it's been the preview show brought to you by SBK. We'll be back again on Sunday. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.